This podcast episode is part of the 10th QED Changemaker Forum on the future ways of working. For this series, we chat with industry leaders and individuals who will share their personal perspectives on how the key drivers of change, people, ideas, and technology will impact our future workforce, workplace, and workday. I'm your host, Ryan Lim, Principal Consultant at QED Consulting. Our guest today is the Digital Workplace Technology Lead of Telstra. With over 20 years of experience, he is currently in a technology lead role focusing on building Telstra's digital workplace and cloud propositions. He also provides expert guidance to Telstra's global teams and customers in emerging technologies. Throughout his time in the technology industry, this versatile leader has held varying roles across business consulting, solution selling, practice development, and alliance management. Let's welcome Samuel Badnall to the QED Changemakers podcast. Hello, Sam. Great to have you with us today.
Wonderful to be here, Ryan.
Thank you once again for being on the panel of the 10th QED Changemaker Forum. It's been a pleasure having you. So even more excited to have you back again to share your thoughts on all the things that has been happening.
Excellent. No, pleasure to be here.
Now, before we get started and dive right into our topic, I just wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about Telstra and your role as technology lead of digital workplace for the benefit of our listeners.
Yes, of course. So Telstra is probably a brand most of our listeners recognise as Australian incumbent telecommunications provider, but we've been operating internationally for some 75 years. We're now present in over 30 countries, and my role within our international business is the technology lead for workplace and cloud. And my day-to-day activities require me to spend some time with our customers, with our alliance partners, with our products and services team, really understanding the market trends and help determine our international strategy and ultimately develop propositions for us to take to market.
Right, it sounds exciting. And because you mentioned cloud as part of what you do, and that is the future, right?
It is, absolutely. Look, there's not a single technology that isn't impacted by cloud trends. So it's important for myself to be on top of those market trends and technology areas for sure.
From your vantage point then, how should we expect the future ways of working to be like? You just mentioned that you're actually watching trends and all that. Could you tell us what you see?
Yes, of course. Look, I've been fortunate enough to work for organizations for some time that have had a flexible approach to working. So whilst it's been a hot topic since the pandemic, from a personal perspective, it's been something I've been used to for quite some time. And I think it comes down to agility and flexibility. You know, organizations really understanding how their employees perform the best work and approaching policies and technology and even the physical office to ensure that they can contribute the best way possible. No doubt there is going to be a technology angle to this, and organizations must invest in the best of breed technology to be able to work from anywhere, from any device, at any time, making sure that the collaboration experiences are best of breed as well. So video being mainstream here, there's a lot of organizations that are going to be working in a hybrid fashion with people in the office, people working from home, and making sure that video first is important. From a physical office perspective, there's no doubt that there's going to be requirements to rethink what that office environment looks like and an opportunity to refurbish those facilities and giving them a little bit of a millennial appeal. Environmental consciousness is going to be front of mind as well, when organizations have to consider how they represent themselves internally and externally. And finally, the future of work has to be a focus on well-being and really understanding how employees are approaching their mental and physical health and applying policies and best practices around that.
Actually, it's very, very hopeful that it is not just focused purely on value extraction. It covers more encompassing based on, like you said, well-being, talking about being more purposeful in all the way that we do as well. And I understand that Telstra actually has a recently released an APAC research report, and I think you've covered some of the main gist of it. Could you tell us a little bit more on this report about the transformation landscape in the hybrid work environment? Any key findings on top of what you just shared?
Yes, of course. Look, this was an activity that we undertook to go out and speak to several of our customers and staff members around the way they see the future of work and hybrid working in general. And the top three strategic transformation priorities that we saw from our organizations that we interviewed across Asia Pacific were increasing investments in emerging technologies, improving their cybersecurity ecosystem, and increasing the pace of digital innovation projects. So certainly, you know, double clicking on that, technology that enables collaboration is incredibly important for our organizations and our customers. Creating a corporate culture and facilitating employee engagement is ever important in a flexible and hybrid working environment. And a focus on HR and policies that are associated with flexible working was also an important trend that we picked up during that research.
And it seems like there are expectations when it comes to major drivers of change, right, with people as well as technology coming, impacting the workplace. And maybe we can start a little bit about people's expectations as a major key driver of change. With so much of our work going to the cloud, do you see people still expecting a workplace, perhaps?
Absolutely. And it's interesting, it's been in a topic of conversation so much today, even within Telstra, but also with our customers, around what is the future of the workplace and the future of the physical office. It's no doubt that people have realized during the pandemic that corporate real estate is a very expensive place for people to come in and stand around and send emails all day. So the opportunity to look at that physical space and the purpose that it provides employees is incredibly important. Interestingly, there's a concept within Telstra at the moment around earning your commute. And I like the terminology that people working from home are realizing that can be productive and start work the moment they get to their desk. But people that are traveling into the office to have that commute, that might be anywhere from 15 minutes in Singapore to a couple of hours in larger countries like Australia. So we've surveyed our own staff to understand what they felt was important in the physical office, and a couple of trends. So no doubt, technology to enable productivity and mobility, a better indoor environment with windows and lighting, wellness spaces such as indoor gardens, better spaces to connect and collaborate, flexible layout settings to support different activities and events, better kitchen and breakout spaces, and better end of trip facilities. So showers, places to book bicycles, places to encourage the wellness activities that I mentioned before, to go into creating that environment that people want to come in and specifically become a little bit more social than they perhaps were before.
That's what I thought, Sam. It sounded more like a country club than an office these days.
Yeah, look, I mentioned that at the event, that if people have historically come into the office and just sat there and worked in silos and done their job, there's probably an opportunity for them to work remotely more often than not. But there are still going to be some employees that like structure, that prefer to come to the office. And one of the interesting discussion points that we've had is many will feel that they're missing out if they remain working from home every day. There is a concept around FOMO, and particularly when it comes to career progression, out of sight, out of mind. Are they going to miss out on career opportunities if they don't come into the office? It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, but and I think that playing field is quite different, and to be able to grapple with, say, from the same department, we're not talking about different departments, right? Some coming on site, some don't come on site as the supervisor. How do I then do, you know, better or more effective performance evaluation to be fair and equitable to the entire team? I think that's still a huge challenge down there. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit about that report of yours, right? And there is a mention that the current workforce in this work environment has new expectations as well, given the changes that we are seeing and that you mentioned a couple of us. Could you tell us a little bit more about them?
Yes, so there's a lot of focus now from human resources and people department around the policies, tools, allowances, and so on that would go into the flexible work environment. And in fact, we're seeing it during the interview process of candidates actually coming in. And the first thing they ask these days is, what are the flexible working environments? What are you going to be doing to differentiate yourself as an employer? You know, asking questions around company culture and focus on employee experience, flexible working policies. Is that actually ingrained into your business? Is it within the contract? Do you have the concept of working hours within your contract? What are you doing around home office allowances? What facilities do you have and other benefits such as corporate catering and so on? And what is your approach to training and development? And it's all of these elements that are not usually a consideration when interviewing for candidates or even looking at retaining employees, but that's what's top of mind now in the future of workforce.
Right, and with all these major things still in flux, won't that also affect corporate culture? And I think it seems like it's still evolving, right? How do you think that, or rather, what's the final result of this in the future? Where are we landing?
I have no doubt that the future of modern work and corporate culture is focused on flexibility. And flexibility where it makes sense. There are a lot of organizations out there that still have physical environments, physical assets that need to be manned every day. But those people that have the ability to work anywhere they can will expect to be able to work flexibly. And the corporate culture must evolve as a result. We need to look at whether a person coming into the business has a remote first attitude. Do we have managerial capability and a focus on being able to manage remote teams? Do we practice transparency as an organization? There's a concept that came up quite a lot during our event around the concept of trust. There are still people that have an old school approach, managerial style, that need to see people in the office every day. But a flexible approach just doesn't take that approach anymore. You really do need to trust that your employees are doing the right thing when they come into the office or work from home.
I've always thought that this whole management by outcomes was not a new concept. And I don't know why after so long we're still talking about this.
I think there's some cultures around the world where managing by outcome has been mainstream, but there are still some cultures and even industries that manage by input is still commonplace. So certainly it's shifting. It comes back to a point that I made earlier around, you know, do you have the concept of fixed hours within your contract? Do you expect people to be at a desk at 9 o'clock and still be there at 6 o'clock? Or do you allow them to understand how best they work, when they work, how to provide the most to their business? And that would be a concept towards output.
And that, of course, includes the environment that we just spoke about as well. Let's shift gears a little bit, right? We've just talked about people's expectations and corporate cultures. Let's focus instead on the impact of technology on the workplace. I mean, we are seeing a lot of increased technology investment in that particular area. And you mentioned earlier, I think data security is also one of those particular areas of concern and investment. Any areas that we should be looking at or something that you're seeing from your vantage point in terms of increased investments?
So certainly security and cybersecurity is front of mind for most organizations, Ryan. And looking at it from a staff members or end users perspective, they do expect a frictionless experience regardless of the device they use and the application they're accessing. But given the approach towards cloud-first ecosystem, particularly around applications, the traditional security boundaries have disappeared. No longer do employees come into the office and connect to a network and be secure from a network perspective. You do need to be secure regardless of where you're working. And the concept of moving to SASE or Secure Access Service Edge and other networking technologies such as SD-WAN become important. Identity is key. Everything that you access on a day-to-day perspective is controlled through identity. And passwords are not the most secure fashion, and there's a lot of trends towards passwordless technology and biometric type security capability. Using technology to provide visibility around application usage and security, regardless of where the application is hosted. And also an important trend around securing the data, regardless of where it resides. So securing data and the document itself, embedding capabilities such as classification, encryption, and access permissions, so that if a data was to escape your control, you can still ensure that it is secure.
Would I be right to actually just quickly summarize and say that there's a lot more investment and a disproportionate amount of investment going into data security, or is there another area that a lot of investments are going towards?
So from a security perspective, identity and data security, I think, is most important. But looking at it from a broader technology perspective, productivity and automation is front of mind as well. So flexibility and flexible working styles does start with productivity stack and making sure that you can access your productivity tools, your communication tools, your collaboration tools, regardless of where you are from any device. And that's not only when you're communicating with your colleagues, but increasingly it's becoming important to be able to communicate and collaborate beyond your business boundaries with partners and with customers alike. Those organizations that are a little bit more mature from a technology portfolio are now looking at opportunities for automation. And we're talking software automation, we're talking automation within the HR department around, say, employee onboarding and automating the approach for account creation and device provisioning. It might be automation within the HR department around legal document management and legal interaction. And it might be automation within the finance department to remove paper-based invoice payment, for example. And that's really the next step that organizations are taking. For those people that can't come into the office, paper-based approach or manual approach to working just simply isn't suitable. And just finally on the technology area is the connectivity side. And as a telco, we see this firsthand, that there is still an opportunity for large enterprises to explore how they access these applications from a network and connectivity perspective. And that's looking at your home office, it's looking at it whilst you're on the go, and it's looking at it from an enterprise perspective. The adoption of cloud-based productivity tools during the pandemic, a lot of organizations and a lot of staff members were using those tools from the comfort of their home on a consumer-based internet service that is used to high bandwidth applications. When they go into the office now at scale, they're realizing that their corporate network just simply isn't architected in a fashion to consume that much internet service, and it is creating bottlenecks. So there's an important element for organizations, particularly on the employee experience, to look at their network portfolio as well.
Sam, you're going to get a lot of inquiries coming up to you after this, right? To maintaining connectivity to the office anywhere, anytime.
That's right. It is important.
So we spoke a lot about the tools that helps the organization, the teams that we are talking about to be more productive. What about the technology that's supporting workforce motivation now that we have an extremely decentralized workforce? And not only just a decentralized workforce, we have to grapple with both on-site and online concurrently. I mean, any thoughts on this particular area of technology?
Yes, sure. So this is an area that a lot of the major hyperscalers are exploring, because there's no doubt that day-to-day experience for any employee is heavily influenced by technology, and technology is vital to drive a positive experience and improve productivity. There is a notion of employee experience, and that's really looking at things like streamlining on onboarding processes. How do you approach corporate communication? What is your growth and development platform? How do you share knowledge through the community, especially for very large organizations? You've got pockets of capability across the business that might not know about each other. So how do you build those communities of excellence? And then workplace analytics to really understand employee well-being. So the concept of personal workplace analytics, so having a look at whether you have got breaks in your calendar for focus time, or have you set a virtual commute for you to wind down should you be working from home, but also looking at it from an organizational lens of do you have people that are digitally absent, or do you have people that are working completely unnecessary hours and are always on? How do you augment that data with leave requests or sick requests to understand whether there are people at risk of leaving the business, or potentially mental health trends? So there's a lot that you can do with technology in this space.
And I assume that now that there is actually a trend of people asking for less work days in a week, we need to monitor that a lot. Otherwise, we're going to suffer a lot more burnouts, right?
That's right. I mean, a lot of this, with the workplace analytic capability, is really focusing not specifically on people that are not performing and are not present, but the other end of the spectrum of who is working too hard, who is working too long hours, who is engaged with far too many meetings, and how do you take that data from an organization perspective, from a managerial perspective, to coach your employees, coach your staff members, and identify some trends of concern?
I look forward to that well-being tool that's going to tell me that, Ryan, you're working too hard. It's an ego boost to tell me to go and take a break and I'm working hard. So we spoke about it as well, right? The decentralized workforce, that people are starting to use their homes as the next office space. Cafes are also one potential places, but Wi-Fi suck there. Most of us will come back home. The fact is that the home is also a workplace. But how about securing the home suitable enough? You mentioned briefly that the cloud is also one option that Telstra has that covers that portion of it. Could you tell us a little bit more about it? Because we need to secure the homes as a viable, safe workspace as well, isn't it?
Of course. And I guess you know, we're not going to be able to control the physical security of the home. That's up to each of the individuals. But certainly from a technology perspective, some of the trends that I mentioned before of really, when you allow an employee to be able to work from anywhere, from any device, you have to consider security the same way in the office and at home. And security is moving towards the cloud, moving towards where the application resides. It's not looking at the network and physical environment as much anymore. So just to touch on a couple of the points, again, identity is key. If you're not controlling your identity, that is a problem. And identity security is everyone's responsibility. Securing the application regardless of where it resides and making sure you're understanding how people are accessing that application and getting visibility and trends. And finally, just on the data side. So again, you know, looking at my personal experience, I access my applications and my data the same way at home as I do in the office. There is no difference when it comes to security, and most organizations are going to be taking that approach.
And I think same here as well, right? I work exactly as I am, wherever I am. I'm not going to switch much in terms of my habits anyways. So is there a sort of like a recommended strategy as organizations also transit moving to a more hybrid or even remote workplace arrangement?
Every business is going to be different. And those that clearly have a workforce on the front line need to consider their approach carefully. As I mentioned earlier, that there's going to be organizations that do have to man a physical asset. They can't operate as a business without going to a physical place. And so the concept of flexible working and hybrid working concepts under those circumstances is very different to the information and office worker that has the ability to work from anywhere. But from an information worker perspective, as I mentioned, companies must listen to their staff and adopt a strategy that will get the best out of their employees by offering flexibility and instilling a leadership style that puts trust and transparency at the forefront. From a strategy perspective, clearly technology plays a major role. So people need to look at the maturity of their productivity and security tools to ensure staff can work from anywhere. But a lot of this is corporate policy. What type of culture do you have, and how does your strategy play a role in that corporate culture and developing that corporate culture?
Well, Sam, I want to maybe stretch our imagination and go a bit further into a little bit of a futuristic kind of a scenario. We've seen a lot of workspaces and offices, both physical and virtual, being reimagined as we speak. So I'm going to touch a little bit about what some of the folks have been talking about the exciting development, or rather unsure development, of the metaverse for the workplace. I mean, we've seen a lot of discussions about the metaverse recently, right? So anything that you're seeing in that particular space that we should hear about?
The metaverse conversation is one that you can spark with almost every company and anyone at the moment, Ryan. And interestingly, the metaverse has been in the news during the last week or so. But looking at it specifically around the technology today, not only metaverse, but more importantly around augmented and virtual reality, there are some clear immediate use cases that can be applied today. So improved education and training is one that can be applied to frontline workers. So clearly the metaverse and augmented reality can improve your approach to training, particularly frontline worker training, and that's a use case that's relevant today. The other end of town, which a lot of people are considering, I guess, is workplace meetings and collaboration, and the expectation that we all would join a virtual meeting room around a virtual boardroom at some point in the future. And I don't think that's quite there yet. It's a nice conversation starter and it's exciting for organizations to test it, but I don't think that the technology is mature enough at this point in time, and people just really aren't ready to make that leap.
I was just trying to figure out with my team here as well, Rich, say, could we have the meeting in Roblox or Minecraft, for example? I don't mind hosting meeting in court and then have an entire castle somewhere in the Minecraft world.
Yeah, look, the concept isn't too far-fetched. And really, there has been some organizations that have been exploring this type of technology for some time. The concept, even 10 years ago when I started in the collaboration area, there was the ability for you to assume an avatar and to go into a virtual space and have a meeting. It obviously wasn't as immersive as it is now with augmented reality, virtual reality headsets you can choose, but the concept has been available for enterprises to consider for 10 years or so. It has been around. Interestingly, just on that point, though. A lot of the major productivity tool providers, and I talked about a video-first culture, there are still going to be people that are video shy and are uncomfortable turning their video on, especially in a home environment. But you get a lot more from the personal interaction and understanding body languages. Some of the major hyperscalers have provided the ability for you to assume an avatar and create a digital representation of yourself to use with the regular productivity tools. So if you're uncomfortable in turning your camera on, you can use that avatar and participate in meetings in a slightly different way. Concept is sound. It is going to be new and exciting technology and probably a distraction initially, but it would give people the ability who are uncomfortable turning their video to participate in meetings in a more visual way.
So you can imagine, right, if the boss walks in and you see Darth Vader.
That's the key here. I mean, there's no real guidelines around the avatar that you can choose to assume. So I've created one that looks very well as close to what I actually look like in the real world as possible. But there will also be some people that take a slightly different approach to that.
Oh, Sam, you've got to show me. I would definitely come in Darth Vader and I say, I'll probably tell my guys that you failed me for the last time. And then with that stuff, Darth Vader voice, you know, just for dramatic effect. But then there is also the flip side of it, right? With all these exciting opportunities. I mean, the workforce is also subject to offshoring. In other words, working from anywhere and everywhere also means that there will be increased contests for talent. And you can literally source from anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter, especially for the knowledge workers. Is there any take that you have on this issue?
Yes. Do we consider it an issue or not? I mean, from a technology services perspective, Ryan, the concept of offshoring has been around for a long time or might be termed best shoring. And it's quite a common workforce model to look at how we can provide technology services to customers from the most cost-effective location possible. So that concept's been around for a while. I guess what is being explored now is a shift towards our attitude around gig workers and crowdsourcing models. So how do we approach a customer requirement or a project using people and capability from around the world, focus on a specific output, a specific project, and whether corporate organizations are going to be adopting gig working styles or crowdsourcing models at scale in the future? There is no doubt that the hybrid working concept does allow us to leverage people regardless of where they are in the world. Those that have physically been unable to come into an office in the past are able now to participate and work effectively regardless of where they are. But it also does raise some concerns just around corporate compliance and data sovereignty and a few other areas. How do you maintain secure control over what those employees are doing? So there are going to be, whilst the technology there and the concept is sound, it is going to raise some other business concerns and challenges that organizations need to go through.
So we have not landed on anything yet. So there's both opportunities, but there are also risks. And I love what you just said, right? This technology has all enabled different, completely different workforce talent that we can actually tap on. People who are physically unable to come to office and yet now are full functioning, contributing members of the workforce. Like I think one of our earlier podcast guests, like for example, Jonathan from GIC, he's fully functional, contributing member of society now as a result of technology. And I think that thanks to technology, there's actually a possibility. So there are two sides to this coin. So before we let you off, Sam, I wanted to ask you this, right? How can senior leaders listening in better manage all these massive transitions that we just spoke about effectively?
Look, managing remote teams is something that all business leaders need to now consider. And I mentioned it before, but it takes an approach where trust in your staff becomes the most important attribute. And I mentioned there are some analytical tools that management staff members can look at to understand and provide insights into how their employees are working, the level of input and output that they are providing. But really, they need to take an approach of setting expectations up front, instilling independence in the staff members, practicing patience and empathy, making sure that there are communication channels that all of their employees can engage through, how to balance distractions, because we all know what it's like working from home. But you also need to ensure that you're scheduling weekly team meetings and creating an opportunity for the social element that still is so important in our working environment.
Not forgetting culture too, right, Sam?
Absolutely. So we touched on culture, but cultural trends come from everywhere, from the organizational leaders, from the managers, and from the staff themselves.
Well, thank you so much, Sam, for being on our podcast for the 10th QED Changemaker Forum. Really, really appreciate your time, your experience, as well as your perspective. Thank you so much.